Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 2. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Constantine made them a proposition that if they would come and work with him, that they could do some really good things and Christianize the entire city of Rome as well as the countries that they were over. He was soliciting their help. And half of them said no. Half of them said, nope, can't do that. We need to be about the master's work. But half of them said yes. And the half who said yes saw the opportunity. Okay, and it wasn't bad. I mean, on the face, they didn't know. There were 350 guys who were saying, this is a great idea. We're going to just have a nice seat and we'll have influence. And he says, you did. You held fast my name and you held fast the faith. My faith, which is a different faith than works faith. Okay, my faith, Jesus is speaking. My faith is the faith, trust me and me only. He says, you held my faith, my name. And he says, you've not denied me. And he says, but I have a few things against you. And in verse 14, it says that, first of all, you hold them with you that have the doctrine of Balaam. And the doctrine of Balaam involved casting a stumbling block before the children of Israel. And to eating things, sacrificed to idols, and committing fornication. Now, that's the three things he enumerates under the doctrine of Balaam. Now, if you don't know what the doctrine of Balaam was called by Balak to curse the people of God as they were traveling through the land. And as he was going up to curse the people every time, he did it three times, and every time he came back with a blessing. Okay? And Balak is getting fed up. He's like, dude, I was going to make you richer than your wildest imagination, but God has held that back from you. He says, I can't do anything else. God is the one who's the one who's in charge of my gifts, and he says I need to curse these people, or I need to bless these people. And then as he began to leave, he thought about all that money, and he turned around back to Balak, and he says, listen, I'll tell you what you do. I can help you with this. I can't curse them myself, but I can get you to get God angry with them. And you know what he did? He told him to send those Moabitish girls down there and make them seduce the boys. And he got God to break forth in wrath against his own people. It was terrible. And what ended up happening was it became known as the doctrine of Balaam. So you begin to see, cast a stumbling block, eating things sacrificed to idols, because that's the inevitable thing. These girls are, you know, hey, let's do this, let's do that. Also a little connective, because it's ultimately going to be a mass that they're going to constantly be taking for grace, and it's going to be breaking the bread of Christ, but eating things offered to idols and then committing fornication. Did you know the Bible says friendship with the world is enmity against God? He talks about adultery, the spiritual adultery of you adulterers, you adulteresses in James chapter 5, because they've committed spiritual adultery, because they've gone with other kind of versions of Christendom. Well, that's this. He had the doctrine. They had the doctrine of they were bearing with it. They were looking the other way. They were holding their nose at first. But after a while, they were in the same seats and in the same, groups, if you will, in the city. You know, they were conferring. They were interacting. How can we change this? And let's all get a committee together and we'll bring in some of those people. And ultimately, you know what's happening now, right? Not just fornication that was spiritual adultery. But now it's okay to have people living together in church. Good people. They can teach Sunday school. They're living together without being married. Not only that, but homosexual preachers and teachers, right? I mean, we're talking about all kinds of things are countenanced because we're so far down the road. And so I say to you, you know, this is a problem, God says. He says, I'm the one who has the sharp two-edged sword. You know what that means? It cuts both ways. Yeah, you see yourself as having my name and my doctrine, but you got to understand that even though you know those people are lost and you are trying to bring them to salvation, you say, even though that's happening, you're going to be the one who's going to get cut by the sword. Because if I have to say out loud, you're committing adultery by living in sin with somebody, you say, well, they're not married. I mean, fornication, okay, let's use that word. I want to tell you something. If you take somebody else's girl who's not married and you're not married and you're living with them, you're stealing from her father. And lady, you're stealing from his father. Because the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. And if you don't honor them by being appropriate and a good keeper of your brother or sister and protector of them, you're failing out of the gate. You know, Abel and Cain, they had their rift, right? And Cain kills Abel. What does God do? He says, where's your brother? And he knew where he was because he said his blood cries out from the ground. He says, but where's your brother? Why? Because he wanted Cain to come clean. He says, what am I, my brother's keeper? Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. God didn't even dignify that with an answer. So I say to you, these are huge deals. Not only was there a problem with this doctrine of Balaam, but in verse 15, there was also these people who held the doctrine of Nicolaitans. The word Nicolaitans is made up of two words. The first word is Nike, believe it or not. Nike, like the shoes with the check mark, okay? It's a Greek word that means to conquer or to be victorious. So it's a good word for a shoe that's involved with sports, right? But the word Laitans is the word, we get the word laity. You've heard of clergy. That's me. I'm the pastor. I'm clergyman. You're the laity, okay? The layman. You've heard of layman. This is that. Nicolaitans means people who conquered the people. And this is what happens with Romanism. They get the professional clergy and the laity, they're under their authority. So if you don't bring your child to be baptized early on and they die, then they go to Libdo and you got to worry about that. If you don't have masses said over your departed relatives, they burn longer in purgatory. First of all, there's no Bible verse about limbo and there's no Bible verse about purgatory, but they've come up with this because it conquers the people. Pergamos. You see the word gamos? You've heard polygamy? Monogamy? That's your touchstone for what's going on here. Church married the state. The Bible says in verse 16, you better repent or else I'll come quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Okay, so they're starting a continuum where they're countenancing wrong, just like Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and eventually he was working in the gate ruling in Sodom. It's a picture of the same thing. And what happens is his daughters are lost as a result of that. They seduce him after the fire fell in Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's what's going to happen. These people in that day started a continuum where down through history, Romanism lost the complete plot. And eventually all of their children would be subjected to a sword. I will fight against them with the sword in my mouth. And you know what that is? That's what's happening when the rapture happens and then you've got all the wrath falling and so forth. He says in verse 17, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. To him that overcometh will I give of the hidden manna. Think of the wafer they're giving now. Okay, they say, behold the Lamb of God holding up a wafer. It's not the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's a wafer. You say, well, what about when we take communion? That's a piece of bread that is used as a symbol. Jesus said this, do in remembrance of me, not in receiving of me. In remembrance of me, it's symbol. And we take the Lord's Supper to remind ourselves that we live upon his death. It's his broken body. It's what's represented. He said, take, eat, this is my body. He was sitting there. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. It wasn't broken yet. He was saying, this is a symbol, and he initiated this. So, hidden manna is something. He says, I will get you real hidden manna. He says, if you'll overcome. And he says, I'm going to give you a white stone, and a new name written on it that no one knows. So, they're going to get that. This is great. You know, it's like Christmas. I'm going to get a great thing. I'm going to have a relationship with this one that I say I serve. I've got his name. I've got the right variety of things. But I'm sitting in a bad place. Now listen, there are people in the radio audience who go to a church that does not preach the gospel. They don't teach the word of God, and they're not even warning their people that we're standing at the cusp of the rapture of the church and the tribulation on earth. And they're not teaching it because they are afraid of the revelation because they don't understand it. They were taught not to respect it. I'm telling you, you are living on the front lines of the end times. Okay, we're really getting there as we see globalism coming into its own. And these people who have set their tents towards Sodom are now part of it. And they're echoing whatever's being said in their higher councils and their denominational heads. And they're countenancing things that they're going to have to answer for. You remember the old Lucy show? They're going to have some splaining to do. Okay, just like Lucy always had some splaining to do. All right. Verse 18, the Bible says, and write unto the angel of the church at Thyatira, write these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. Now the word for Thyatira literally means odor of affliction. And the odors is connected to incense offerings. And affliction has to do with constant sacrifice and death and so forth. And it's come to be understood by scholars that this word literally represents a continual sacrifice. In the 7th century, they literally began to do the mass. It wasn't done for those couple of hundred years. See, they weren't all bad all at once. They joined Rome and they were sitting in the wrong place, but the next thing you know, they're instituting all kinds of weird stuff. Like, for instance, the institution of a pope. That happened in the 7th century. The mass was instituted at that time as well. I'm telling you, this is a continuum of the church age. You can see it. They instituted that. And so you have them offering a continual sacrifice. And what does Jesus say to them to identify with them? He says, I'm the guy who sees you. Okay? I have eyes like a flame of fire. When I look at you, you know I'm looking at your soul. You know I'm looking down to your core. And I know what you do. Listen, and I know why you do it. And he's talking to the religious crowd in this sense, but this is what we saw in chapter 1. Jesus was there in his glorified state with eyes like fire. So I say to you, he's telling him in a very deliberate way, I see you, I know you. And he says, my feet are like fine brass, because he's the sacrifice. They don't need a continual sacrifice. He says, I know your works in verse 19, your charity, your service, your faith. They built hospitals and they helped the poor. I mean, they were doing good things. Augustine, he wrote the City of God, and these people had tender consciences. And so he's telling them, I know who you are, and I know why you're doing what you're doing now. He says, notwithstanding, I have something against you. In verse 20, he says, because you suffer the woman Jezebel, who was a prophetess, you suffer her to teach, to seduce, and to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, when you're taking the mass because you think that's the thing you're supposed to do, you need to understand, it's a sacrifice. And in the mass, you also have behind, you have all the idols, one of the Ten Commandments. I mean, they're not supposed to have any idols, and yet the whole church is filled with them. And you take the mass to eat, sacrifice idols. The priest brings it down. They look at it like they're the priest who offers the sacrifice. They give it to you. And they believe that you're going to get grace by taking the mass, or that's what they teach. Though deep down, I know they don't believe it because I've heard the stories behind the curtain where they'll see somebody who's a Protestant buddy who's another preacher or something, and they'd say, here, take a bunch of these. You need all the grace you can get. And they'd just give the elements to the Baptist or whatever. So he says, I see you. You're taking Jezebel's way. And Jezebel, of course, was the wife of Ahab in the Old Testament. She turned the whole thing on its ear in Israel because she brought in Baal worship and everything else. Now, know this. She also is in the continuum of Babylonian worship in her time, and now we're in the Babylonian worship in our time. Where is the Babylonian worship of the Tower of Babel? Semiramis and Tammuz, they instituted it. It's in Romanism, baby Jesus sitting in Mary's hands and having a halo over her head because she's called immaculate as well. Never died, assume. I'm telling you, this is stuff that is incredible to get your mind around. But he says, you suffer her to be there. You're going with it. You're engaging in it. You've totally lost the plot from Pergamos to Thyatira. And he says, I gave her space to repent in verse 21 of her fornication, which was the biggest thing involved here. And it was a spiritual fornication, and she repented not. And that's exactly what God is doing today. They're being given space because God loves people. There's enough gospel in the Catholic Church for people to be saved. And if you can't see through all of the nonsense that you're hearing in the radio and TV news when they're talking about all these kids being molested and all the stuff, God's saying, I am here and I see you. You have a good heart, but you are following the wrong authority. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.